Well, here we are, July 10th, if I got this correctly. I've got my notes in front of me. I will not stick them in the pages tonight so we lose them. And we are continuing. This is part 15. This is Wednesday night. I think it's Life Issues Part 15, but we are in, I think, segment 3 or whatever of religion. We are looking at religion. And two sermons ago, we just looked what the Bible says about religion, so that's online. And then we talked about, my whole point here is in Acts 19, to destroy the magnificence and to despise this false religion junk that's going on everywhere. And then we mentioned religion. Then we mentioned all the religions. Then we mentioned denominations, how easy they are to despise and destroy the magnificence of. They're just not that big a deal. Seventh Day's got the Sabbath issue. Catholics got the Mary issue and the Pope and the priest issue. Lutherans have the baby baptism makes them a Christian, and confirmation gives them the permission to go to the communion, and then they receive the Spirit of God at the communion. I guess I didn't talk about the Mormons, so I could always throw the Mormons in there. They got another Jesus without a doubt, Satan's brother. There's just everybody. Presbyterians are all social gospel now. They start out with some history, but I've been reading some books lately, just casually picking through them before I throw them away. Back in the Great Awakening days and early America, I'm now being Paul. I can see where all that stuff was just pre-Pentecostal. It was pre-Pentecostal, was heading up this Great Commission stuff, and I have said before that William Booth, the Salvation Army originator, was somewhat of a Paul guy, and that made him an outcast. I guess we understand that. But what we're getting into more than anything are the Baptists. And I'm going after the Baptists because as I said in this one part here, Paul says, if you guys want to talk about, want to glory in your flesh, I can glory in my flesh. And then Paul lists all those things that he is. He says, well, I'm not going to go down that road. And I say the same thing. I don't have any prideful claim in anything except been in Baptist churches for years and on the staffs and ministries and messed with all the big guys and got involved in the music and the churches in Las Vegas and Idaho and New York and around. So if I want to glory in the flesh, I can say I know what I'm talking about here because I've been a Baptist. I've been a Baptist pastor. So that's what that's all about. That was the first two sermons, I think. And then the third one, I got into this Baptist manual that I remember I found in Ohio. The Landmarks of Baptist Doctrine, a Comprehensive Study in Systematic Theology, Book 4. And they gave me that one, and I didn't want any of the other ones, but that was enough. And we started to go through this on Sunday night, and I lost my notes. I have it on a little, probably a 3x3 or 2x2 or 2.5x2.5 yellow sticky pad note, and I stuck it in my book that night while we were talking, and then I couldn't find it. So we had, as you even notice on the website, it's 20-some minutes long, which is one of my record short ones. So let's get into it. We've got some more to get into here tonight. All I'm doing is just picked out a few little highlights and just flipping through the book to see some things that are not scriptural. Totally. We look at the Baptists. We've got so many different kinds of Baptists out there. American Baptists, Landmark Baptists, Grace Baptists, Bible Believer Baptists, all that kind of stuff. They all claim the Bible. Many of them claim the King James Bible, but not as many as it used to be. And the ones that do claim King James Bible don't claim it as strong as they used to be. And that's not even my concern, although it should be. There's no point in talking about it with them. They all got public ministries. They all preach on the streets, and they all have their rules and stuff that everybody has to follow. Like the one church I know of in North Carolina says that it's a sin to watch movies in the movie house, so they just go to video bookstore called that everybody's Blockbuster. So they bring Blockbuster movies home instead. This is that kind of hypocrisy that kids see, and they just help them toss it away. The English separatist view, the Anabaptist view, the perpetuity view, that's the brighter crowd. There's just tons of stuff that are out there. So what we're looking at here, What we're looking at here is a book that is pretty much generalized all Baptists, I would guess. At least those that have institutes and everything. But I'm specifically concerned about the Bible believers because they even complain, they even claim rightly dividing, a lot of them. A lot of them are the King James guys, and we rightly divide, just like Dr. Ruckman taught us, you know. But we also know that they're all Great Commission, and they're somehow just totally afraid of Paul. You just mention Paul, and right away you're a hyper-grace or hyper-dispensationalist or whatever. And I was thinking today, maybe I will talk about the hyper thing, because there's, you know, I had some thoughts about that. So we will also do a quick sermon probably Sunday on review a little bit of the Baptist distinctives. We will look at the two supposedly ordinances, Lord's Supper and baptism. We'll do some quick review. I just want to get out there and I want to destroy the magnificence that takes place in people's eyes and minds about the Baptist Church and the Bible Believer Baptist Church. And I've got friends out there, they listen to this website, well, they used to. They still receive the emails about it. And I would imagine we could, I'm not trying to do this because it's not the people I'm after, but I just, there's too many people. My God, it's tickling my throat here. There's just, so many people are still stuck in their church because it's a Baptist church. Well, I know that the ladies want church to go to, it's a fellowship thing, the teens want something to do. And these churches are bringing in music more and more. Not only the marshals are boring compared to what's going on in the churches today, and the music is changing. It's all flesh. It's all Antichrist prepping up stuff. It's just all heading that way. But if we can deal with the Baptist world scripturally, rightly divided, we see some things. I remember when I first looked at this book, I thought, well, boy, that's just totally wrong. Just totally wrong. And you see so many different options. They don't just teach you, here's what we believe and here's what we teach. They have options in this thing. Here's what one group believes, here's what another group believes, here's what another group believes. All talking about Baptists. So it's a mess. So I thought we would just do some more tonight, and tonight I will not lose my notes, I hope. I'll put them over here. And one of the things we first, let's do a quick review. If anybody who has the book that's out there, we are on page 772, if anybody listens to this later, I'll still mention the page number. Anyway, 772, we talked about this last Sunday, just a quick one here. They talk about 1 Peter 5:8, you know, and I just wanted to make mention that we know Satan is not walking around the earth right now. He's not walking down here seeking who may be devour. He may devour. That's a tribulation thing. That's what he'll be doing. That's too simple. And I was reading some of the other stuff about the Satan and all that stuff, and one of the things they leave out is 2 Corinthians 11, how the ministers that teach righteousness are of Satan, you know. They don't want to talk about that one a whole lot. But that was that one quick thing. We talked about the Greek and how they said that, in the front of this book, they stated the fact that the definition of church is ecclesia. Then they defined the word ecclesia in the Greek, and they had all these different possibilities and this and that and whatever, and it's like, oh man, what a mess. Then they get done and they say, well, now, by the way, we just want you to know that you don't have to go to the Greek to understand anything. Well, then why did you just spend, how many pages we got here? Why did you just spend about 15 pages talking about the Greek definition of the church? Stuff like that. And most of the time, men or women hear this stuff, they're just deeply impressed. Oh, we need to learn the Greek. So this is, I can sound like that. I can learn that kind of stuff. And that's the one thing that kept me from going to Dr. Ruckman's school years and years ago, was I didn't think we needed to learn Greek. And they always would say, well, you have to argue with a guy who knows the Greek with Greek. Well, I got to thinking later, no, you don't. You answer a guy that studies the Greek with truth, the King James Bible. You can't argue with the scholars with scholarship. Because every scholarship's got its own base. Catholic scholarship, Lutheran scholarship. I mean, take your pick. You know, Dr. Ruckman's your teacher. Jack Hiles is your teacher. Modish is your teacher. Gipp is your teacher. Those are the big guys I've had. So how can that all varies.
Yeah, I don't believe Dr. Ruckman preaches this thing, but I preach this. It's a mess. It's a legitimate mess. It's an illegitimate mess. So, let's go to some other ones here. Let's go to page 802, and some comments about the crowns. I might have mentioned that a little bit. I don't know if I did or not. I think I might. Let's make this a quick one here. One of the verses they use about judgment, about the crowns, the future judgment of the believer's works, and they go to 2 John 8, and it's talking about our judgment seat of Christ, is what they're talking about here, says that it's the judgment that dispenses rewards, and then they go to 2 John 8, and it says there, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we have received a full reward. Well, wrought is works, and we know that our works will be judged. I see a comment here. We understand that they are works, but they never anywhere say we're talking about Romans 2:16 with Paul. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt that Romans 2:16 is what we'll be judged by, because that's what it says right there. And then they say the crown of life. Well, that's James. We talked about the crowns. That's not a crown of life. That's not our crown. That's not our fear today. Tribulation, yeah, that's their crown then. We have another one, the crown of victory for a Christian who lives victoriously. And they call that the incorruptible crown. Why do they get lives victoriously out of incorruptible crown? And how many of us live victoriously? How many of them, the Baptists, are living victoriously? According to scriptures, according to Paul, according to Timothy, according to Titus? Is that what we're talking about here? Then they go to the crown of glory, 1 Peter 5:4, so that's not a crown for us. The crown of righteousness, we know that is true. For those who love, here's how they do this. For those who love, thus look for, and live in the light of the return of Christ. Well, it doesn't say that. Those who look for and live in the light, no, it's just for those who love to see Him. I'm not living in the light all the time. I'm not doing that great as a Christian man. I am still anxious to see Him. My life and my flesh is what it is. So, again, there's that emphasis on works. Live in the light of. Live victoriously. What we have wrought. And then, the Baptists are big on this legalism of the Gospels. The crown of rejoicing in 1 Thessalonians says the soul winner's crown. And it doesn't say that at all. I guess we have been over these, haven't we? And it says here in glory, these rewards that we receive at the judgment seat of Christ, we will toss at the feet of Jesus. I remember for years, show me that. Somebody show me where it says that we're going to do that. Well, they take you to Romans 4:10. That's a tribulational thing going on there. That's after His coming. That's not us. I don't believe that's us at all. Then it says, they go to Matthew 19. Let's look at this stuff. Let's go to Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verse 28. And they say, this and a couple of the verses we'll look at teach that governmental positions will be given to faithful saints during Christ's millennial reign on earth, something the unfaithful will not enjoy. I remember being told that we'll be able to rule cities and all that stuff. But they're saying if you're a faithful saint, you'll have a governmental position, and an unfaithful saint will not. And they go to Matthew 19:28. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Paul doesn't teach us that. I mean, how many people in this Baptist world have forsaken houses, brethren, sisters, or father? Now, that has happened to a lot of us. or wife or children or lands for my name's sake. So should I be expecting fantastic hundredfold blessings? I'm going to inherit everlasting life? That's not what Paul teaches to me at all. So there's an example of baloney. Baptist baloney, I guess I could call this, but that might be a little rough and rude and crude to people. So there is one. I got my notes. My notes are right here still. I should mark this off then, so I pay attention to what I'm doing here. That was what? 770. No, that was... what page are we? Oh, 802 right up here. Okay. Okay. Let's go to 602. Let's see what I got written down for that one. Page 602 in this Baptist manual, part 4. 602, part C. Oh, here we go. The purpose of each church. Well, we know where that comes from. That's Roman. That's Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And they come up with the fact that the church, it's the purpose, is the pillar and ground of His holy truth. Now, one of the things that somebody wrote in this book here, well, first of all, a pillar supports truth. The ground is the foundation of truth. And by the time they're done with this chapter, they have the church being the truth. And I've got a note here. I thought it written down in here somewhere. Hang on. They take 1 Timothy. Let's look at that. They go to 1 Timothy 3:15. And this is the note that somebody had written in this book. And you know that somebody was, he was probably told that in class. I'm just assuming that, maybe not. But whatever it is, it's a thought that he had. I should be able to find his quote here. Why can't I find his quote here? I'm going to go by memory. That isn't always the best thing. But, one more second here. This is going to be kind of flipping for another day or so here on these things. I'm pretty sure I knew what he said here, but I just wanted to double check it here. Hang on. Okay, so he says there, now I can't remember it. Irritating. Quote. Let's just go on. I'll probably pick it up when I come around here. He changes that verse. And I can fix this on the video, so I'll just sorry that you guys have to sit there through it. I think I can find it pretty soon here. He just changes one word, and it's just very surprising that he does that. Well, I shouldn't say surprising, but he's just... I'm sure he was told that, about that verse here. I'll cut this out of the original thing here. Well, it should be in this section, because it is about the church. Go back a page. Well, here's one. Baptism is an act of obedience. And he goes to Matthew 28 and Acts 2. So there they go with that. So they can't be rightly divided. And it says, actually, we know that Paul says it's obedience to faith is what he says, not obedience to baptism. They changed the Bible more than they would ever admit to it here. I just want to find it. I'll find it. But I give myself 5 more seconds, then I'll stop. 2, 3, 4. Well, I think he changes it to, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of thy truth. And he's making it sound like the church is the final authority. Anyway, I'll find it as we go through this thing. Student, I'm sorry. Let's go to another one here. That was 602 and 603. Check that off. Let's go here to 568. Page number 568. And this one talks about the universal church. That's a hot one, too. The teaching of the universal church has been around since the days of such and such, it goes on, and these early concepts developed into the Catholic Church, you know, the Protestant, all that. How can you not have a universal church if we're part of his body? They say that it's a multi-church teaching of Schofield. So they have the true church and the visible church and the local church, what they're talking about there, trying to show the false teaching of it. The damaging effects of the universal church, the universal invisible church theory. It diminishes one's loyalty to his church. See, if your loyalty and your authority is your church, because it is a pillar and ground of the truth, we'll take the emphasis off truth and we'll put it onto the church. Do you see what I'm saying here? Believing in the universal church, which is what I have no doubt that's what Ephesians 5 is all about, it also promotes church hopping, which Baptists do all over the East Coast. I've heard about that. Substitute organizations replace the church in doing the work of the Lord. It promotes compromise. It erodes scriptural church discipline. It downgrades Bible baptism. It promotes ecumenicalism. Christians are released from their church-related responsibilities. And their whole emphasis, obviously, is on the local church. And they can say that the universal thing is Catholic in its origin, but it's not. The universal church is the body of Christ in its origin. It's the Catholics that have made the Catholic Church the universal church. I remember as a Lutheran, we used to do the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Christian Church. And then they changed it to the Holy Catholic Church. And I remember my parents got really upset. Well, Catholic means universal. So we believe in the Christian universal church, but we say the word Catholic. That was all part of that ecumenical swing of back in those days. And so they are totally, most of these guys are totally against the universal church thing, and we know better than that. I mean, how can you not be part of the body of Christ? Okay, which local church then is the part of the body of Christ? And then you go to the extreme and you come up with the Briters and the Landmarkers, but all the Baptists put the final authority in their church and in their pastor. So there's that baloney. We need a 568, okay. Let's go to 777. Let's see what that is. Oh, the activities of devils. There we go. C, part C. They can be used of God to accomplish this purpose. And they go to 1 Timothy 1:20. And what they're saying here, and first of all, deliver to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme, is they are saying, well, then God will use Satan to be hard on these people so they learn their lessons, and that would be God's chastisement. Well, if we know without a shadow of a doubt, according to Paul only, there is no chastisement of God. We, our soul is clean, and any chastisement will be done at the judgment seat of Christ, and then it won't even just be chastisement. I shouldn't say that. It'll just be burning of our works and what we have wrought, if that's what they want to say, our works. And any of these people that get zipped off to the world, according to what this says right here, deliver unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. So Satan's going to be hard on him. Satan's going to go after him. Or Satan's going to bless him, which we know he can do that. That is not about God using Satan to beat up his people. Again, that's another one of those guilt scare tactics that they throw at people. He goes to Psalm 78, 1 Kings 22, Revelation 16, Job 42, and 1 Timothy 1:20. No, that doesn't cut the mustard. That isn't the way it is at all. One of the things I noticed in this book, the gospel books, Matthew, John, and Peter stand out amongst all the other books they use. And every once in a while, they throw in one of Paul's books. Not very often, though. Let's do another. We got time. We kind of started late, but we'll get going. Just look at, let's go to 569. I'm basically saying that if anybody wants to get a hold of this book. I think we already did this one. 569C. Yeah, I did that one. Fight the damage of the universal church. 710. Let's go back to 710 and see what we got there. Okay. Biblical considerations. Another thing back to the purpose of the church. 710E. Oh, to baptize believers. And they go to Matthew 28, verse 19. And we know better than that. We go down to the responsibilities of Christian fellowship. And I notice none of them in here are what Paul says in Thessalonians, that if a brother, you know, is causing troubles, then you step away from him. Doesn't talk about that at all in here. Here's a James 5:16, to confess our faults one to another. Here's a Hebrews. Here's another James. Here's a John. And you know, it just confuses people. And yet these people, a lot of these people... Oh, here we go. Here we go. That verse back when I remember I couldn't find it. He didn't say thy. He says, which is the church of the living God and pillar and the ground of this truth. Puts the word this in there. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God and pillar and ground of this truth. So you got to go to the church to get this truth when the church is supposed to be supporting the truth. And what should be the final authority should be the truth, not any specific local church. If it was any specific local church, we just have to look at religion and religions and denomination and denominations and to see that there's no one church that says the truth. What is the truth? Thy word is truth. The truth is the King James Bible, rightly divided. Ta-da. Okay. I knew I'd find it eventually there. Let's go to 696. Let's see what I got marked in this one here. 696, stewardship. Oh, there we go. Yep, this is always a challenging here. This is a whole chapter on tithing. Tithing from the first fruits. Tithing is a scriptural principle given at Mount Sinai. Abraham commenced it. Jacob continued it. Moses confirmed it. Malachi commanded it. And Jesus commended it. So, That says it all right there. It's all Old Testament. So, the tithing thing is covered, dealt with in that book, just all a messed up thing. I've got page 695, page before that, goes back to stewardship. Stewardship of the truth, stewardship of our talents, stewardship of our testimony, stewardship of our temple. And we know that stewardship just... This isn't what he's talking about at all here. I hear my phone buzzing, but that's okay. This is all, as I read this, I guess I can't read it to you here. It's just all such a pressure, such a guilt pressure thing to get people to respond to their pastoral stuff, you know. 7-Eleven again. Let's go back to 7-Eleven. What have we got there? That page rings a bell. I think we've been there. 7-Eleven, it was to evangelize the world. One of the purposes of the church is to evangelize the world. Matthew 28, Luke 24, John 20, Acts 1, and Mark 16:15, and finally Revelation 22. Nothing in there about Paul in Acts chapter 13. And I have not yet one Baptist missionary, one Baptist pastor, not agree with me, but they use Mark 16 for their evangelizing verses. I just say, well, why do we not have tongues? Why do we not da-da-da-da? Well, we just don't. And nobody's been able to show me why that's legitimate. Matthew 28, the same thing. That's all Great Commission stuff. Which I imagine is in this book somewhere, the Great Commission here. And then I've got... Well, I think that'll do it here. Yeah, those are just some of the quickie things I pulled out of the hat here. Kind of just flipping through the pages here. And they do deal a lot with baptism, and they do deal a lot with Lord's Supper, but we'll do those on a separate night. It's just the whole thing is based around the fact that your Baptist church is your authority, is your final authority, it is your place. And in order to believe in the Baptist doctrine, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's it. That's the first run through anyway.